Hi, everyone.
Hey.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Meredith.
And this is It's About the Pasta of Vanderpump Rules Podcast, Season 9, Episode 8. I would assume we're half.
I think we're halfway
done.
Because I feel like we've hit a plateau and we're setting up for like the second half.
The end. Mm-hmm. Well, it has been a great season. I am surprised so far. But so check us out on the A&M podcast now. A&M. Oh, I cannot speak. Podcast network. We have this podcast, Summer is Fun, which is right now Winter is Fun, and One Season Wonders. Please be sure to rate, review, subscribe. We actually have a review to quickly talk about, Meredith.
Yes.
This is so dumb. We're okay. It is from Who Did You Do You Who Do?
Which says everything.
Okay. So it's one star and it says name ignorance. Randomly stumbled upon this podcast. Although I agree with 50% of their opinions, I figured it would be a good addition to my list until the end when they started calling Dorito. Which, her father,
we're not laughing at her name.
We'll finish it. Listen, her name is Israeli and it's a traditional Hebrew name. How is it okay to mock her name? Now, listen up. Who do you do now? So I don't want to
explain.
Listen up, Hoodoo. We didn't come up with the name Dorito.
I love Dorit's name. I think it is beautiful.
Yeah,
is all beautiful. I want to say. Numero uno.
If you watched Beverly Hills, you would know that Dorit and Garcelle, they were kind of two sides of the friend group.
Yes.
And a lot of the fans took Garcelle's side because Dorit was super being rude and like sticking up for Erica when she shouldn't have been and really calling out Garcelle.
Calling Garcelle a bully when she wasn't being a bully. There was just like the drama of the year, which is all fine.
Yes. But on Twitter, Adrian Bailon, who is Garcelle's co-host on The Real, it came up that she commented on like Garcelle's Instagram or something that was like, I'm about to swing on Dorito or something.
And I think
like
it auto-corrected it. So like I think so too. So like if we're making fun of that.
It became such a thing though on Twitter. Like everyone saw it. And it became like if you were at Team Garcelle, it was like Garcelle versus Dorito.
Which I think you told me on our pre-show. So that's like where that explanation lives.
Yes.
But I don't think it's made it to the real show. So like we're not trying to make fun of her name. It's kind of like how we laugh at James. For calling Kitty fat. Like that is, like, we understand.
It's not okay. But the way it happened and then everything that happened after that was just hilarious.
Yeah.
So your review is wrong. you should really donate to our Patreon if you want all the inside scoop. So don't knock us till you fully try us.
I think we explained it on that episode, but listen, I get it. It's frustrating. And listen, all respect to Dorit. I think her name is beautiful and I love her to death, honestly, on Beverly Hills. I do want to say that.
I don't, but
give us another chance is what I want to say is like, don't take it off of that one frustration. Cause that's not even the show we're reviewing.
It literally has nothing to do with the show we're reviewing.
So like,
and like I said, it was a Twitter joke. It was all over. We didn't make this up and we weren't making fun of her name.
Yes.
So how is it okay to mock her name? We weren't. So this review is not okay.
We kind of were, but like we weren't the
but not her name. We were just mocking her as a person because she's just, she was versus Garcelle.
It would be way easier if she like had a terrible spray tan. I feel like Dorito would just
oh my God, I would have laughed so hard.
I just think that now every time I hear Dorito, I just think of Dorito with a horrible spray tan.
Yeah, but whatever. Thanks for your feedback. But you're wrong. And we're not going to do anything to change because this had nothing to do with
on
our
the
podcast
plus side. Again. It's not a review on like of the actual podcast, but we got a great share on Instagram that like made my whole life.
I know that was so nice. So nice. Thank you so much for sharing us. That made me so happy. You know what's kind of funny though? Just like high key, can you imagine someone who doesn't watch Beverly Hills reading that review and going, "Who the fuck is Dorit?
Who's Dorito?
Which one of them is Dorito? Who's the most orange?" So funny, but like, thank you, but no, goodbye. Anyway, join our Facebook group. It's the same name as the podcast. I have let in a lot of people. I'm so sorry. There really hasn't been any Vanderpump news for us to share in there.
We should have. It's harder because like we go between the two of like sharing the fun stuff. So feel free to share stuff on your own in there.
Yes, feel free. But also if you want all the tea, you go check out our Instagram at Vanderpasta. That's really where we post a lot. And then join our Patreon, patreon.com/Vanderpasta. Let me tell you what you can get for $1 a month. You get access to all of our pre-shows where Meredith and I just do a quick catch up. Also, you get access to any episodes that we record early, whether it be 12 hours in advance or 24 months in advance. There's a big slot, but go check it out. For $2 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned. Plus you get access to our after shows that we do when we go back and watch old episodes. And we will say your name on the podcast. So thank you to Chris, Dustin, Jackie, Kristen, Tracy, Danae, Gina, Kelsey, Mariah, and Zoe.
We appreciate you.
Yay! Okay. And then for $5 a month, you get access to everything I just mentioned. Plus, we will ask you for your opinions for our live shows. So there's nothing Vanderpump related this week, but we do have some summer or winter house stuff for later. But give us your opinions. If you want us to chat, we'll read them on the podcast. We'll talk about them. It'll be fun. And then also we pick a patron of the episode. So this week, for this one, I'm going to pick our girl, Jackie. Hip, hip, hooray, Jackie, because mostly Jackie. We talked about her a lot on the pre-show and we just love her so much.
Back to the Jackie of the episode.
The Jackie of the episode. okay, but I think I got everything. I'm not mixing it up. Meredith's already buzzed.
I mixed it up all day, so I can't drink anymore. I'm on vacation, everyone.
Let's get into it. So we open up, first real scene starts out with Lala, or it's at Lala and Randall's house. James is here, meets the baby, and he brought her a present. It's a little bunny rabbit and her first pair of Uggs.
I mean, that is what James is for. He's like, I thought for a minute he was going to bring something Tiffany's because I was like, this just seems gift he would give.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how mad Raquel would be? No.
Oh, I wouldn't even, it's the same thing. It's in a Tiffany's box, basically, is what the gift should have come in.
Yeah. Yeah, in a Tiffany's box, just like Raquel's ring, not actually fully Tiffany's. So Lala asks James about Charlie's party because remember, Lala wasn't invited. Raquel turn up. That's what happened.
I love the montage of the drinks. That was me today. Good, good, good.
Loved that. Loved her falling asleep with her feet up.
My God. Hilarious. Successful night.
And so Lala asks, which I think is a fair question, does it bother James that Raquel can get so drunk? And James says, no, it actually bothers him when he's trying to play a drinking game because he's trying to take it super freaking seriously. And no one else
is. The only way to have fun if you are sober is to like win the game, which is the opposite of what the drinking people's goals are.
I mean, yeah, but I hate being sober around drunk people, let alone trying to play a game with them. I can literally only imagine. Okay, so then I actually really quick, because Meredith and I have talked about this and I want to bring it up. So someone on Instagram was messaging me and she shared, I won't say her name because I'm not sure if I should, but she shared that she actually is a recovering alcoholic.
I saw this.
I asked, because I don't know if I can have an opinion on it, but I asked her thoughts on California sober because James is California sober and Lala's not, which basically means he smokes weed and Lala is fully sober from everything. Yeah. And Lala doesn't agree with California sober. She thinks if you're sober, you should be sober from everything. But this person on Instagram says she doesn't mind the term California sober. Pot can help with a lot of anxiety. And some people suffer from severe anxiety when they go through withdrawal during their first months of sobriety. So if it helps them stay sober and less violent and more of the James we all love, then good for him. So that's the fun part. California sober.
I definitely think it depends on the person.
But yeah, so James is just, he gets annoyed when everyone's drunk. And then he's like, was I this annoying when I was drunk? And we get a great montage of James being absolutely ridiculous while he was drunk. It was my favorite thing in the entire world because, you know, I love annoying drunk James. But then he did say that he called Raquel dumb, which Lala was like, yeah, probably not
the best.
A good idea. But then we talk about Raquel's nose job, and James shares that he's nervous that her nose is going to be fucked up. And Lala is like, who cares if her nose is fucked up? Would you leave her?
Yeah. Like, I think Lala gives a lot of real good advice to James, or like gives him a good, like, devil's advocate always with him.
Yeah. But like she laughed, but she was basically like, just because you don't want to be fiance with a botched nose doesn't mean you can give your opinion.
Yes.
But then James also has kind of a good point where he was like, the first time he met Raquel, he wasn't concerned about her and her personality. He was concerned on her looks. But now that he knows her personality, it shouldn't matter. I get it. Looks are important when you first meet.
Yes. And I'm like, James. Okay. I think James is saying what a lot of people are thinking, but you don't say these things aloud. Like, this is your first reaction. That doesn't mean you keep going with it. Like, don't say these things out loud, especially to a camera. I would be, yeah, if something, I'm going to be honest here. If I, like, I'm not dating anyone, but like, if I'm dating someone and their face gets like effed up, that is a different pill to swallow. That is something to overcome, but you should have that connection to hold the most of the relationship.
If this was his like one night stand. Okay. So speaking of Raquel, then she's at Ariana and Sandoval's house. Mm-hmm. Super hungover. She had diarrhea this morning. Hilarious that my sweet baby Angel
was comfortable. Raquel share. is just like, I love how she's like open and honest about so many things. She is truly just like a sweet baby angel. She's like a little sister. You're like, oh, you got so drunk. Yes, we've all been there. Like, that's how Ariana is to her.
So Ariana then brings up that James was kind of being bratty last night because he was really giving his opinion on Raquel's nose and he shouldn't be. And Raquel just said, James is selfish. He gets annoyed when Raquel brings up his mistakes, like his need to be patient towards others.
Yeah, he does need to work on that.
Which, whatever. Okay, so now we're at Villa Rosa. Sandy and Schwartz are here. They are dressed mm-hmm. to the nines.
Oh, as always.
Did someone say rosé? I think they're just here to drink. But they're here to tell Lisa about their concept for Schwartz and Sandy's. They're going to sell the idea to Greg. So they just want to get Lisa's approval. And they're like, while they're talking to Lisa, I was just like, oh, they're like halfway there. Like, Greg is not going to be happy.
Oh no, not at all.
Yeah. So they have a mission statement and I actually wrote it down if you'd like to hear it.
Yes, I do.
It is welcome to Schwartz and Sandy's, a funkadelic dive lounge where you check your worries at the door and escape reality. We hope to bridge the familiarity of your best night out with deja vu of your future fantasy.
Wait, so that's, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, that's not a mission statement.
Okay, I do like this statement. I find it very interesting personally.
Yeah, but like, this is what their tagline should be, not their mission.
Yes, statement. This should be like what's on their website. Like, I think this is a really great, like, few sentences, and it does give me a better idea of what their restaurant is going to be, but it's like website material. Yeah, definitely not a mission statement.
No, a mission statement is welcome to Schwartz and Sandy's. You're a worker here.
Yeah, we're going to provide the best service
with a smile.
And like, give them a psychedelic environment or something. Like, you can have some of those words in there, but this is supposed to be like what you need to do to create a great experience for your clients, like what your workers should be doing.
Yeah. Service with a smile, baby. But so Then Sandy has a big montage about all his ideas that he has for design, but none of them have to do with actually running the bar. It's all just like decorations. Mm-hmm. And Lisa listens to it and she's like, she gets it, but not everyone's going to get it. And there's nothing like set in stone with the vision. So like, let's not focus on the vision yet. Like let's get all the credentials of running a bar and then we can decorate it.
Which
it's like the Christmas tree. You set up the tree and then you decorate it, you know?
Yes. And like Schwartz or Sandoval is so into the decorating. That's all he cares about. And you can really see he's just so about this like vision and this idea, but like he really needs to focus on the bones of it first, because that's like what's going to make it successful.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's basically the end of that. They're a mess. So then we go to Sheena and Brock's apartment. Brock's sewing. Sheena's mom is here. Mm-hmm. Ariana shows up. This is the first time in the apartment. It's very exciting. And she gets to hold Summer. And then Sheena asks Ariana, Sheena says she wants another kid, but doesn't want to put herself at risk now that she's a mom. So she's thinking of getting a surrogate. But then she asks Ariana, like, hey, since you froze your eggs, are you going to get a surrogate?
Which news like, to us.
We didn't know. Surprise. Ariana froze her eggs.
In COVID, Ariana froze her eggs and Sheena was supposed to do it with her, but then got pregnant with Summer.
Yeah. And then, Ariana didn't do it though to have a kid and like save it for that. She just did it. So she has agency over her own body and her own future. So fuck anyone who judges her choices.
Yeah. Like if she wants to have a kid, she'll do it. It gives her all the options for however her life changes and she chooses.
Amazing. So then while they're sitting there, they get a text from Katie inviting them to a man of mystery party, which I think that's just James Bond, but that's all basically. I got from it.
And you know what? Katie later explains it, that they're just all been sitting in their pajamas. So like, I feel this, like I do miss a little dress up event. So I get this.
I definitely get it, but I'd be annoyed. I'm like Lala who didn't want to dress up. That's my vibe. I just don't want to. I'll do it. I don't want to.
I feel you got to hold this for like a big event, like New Year's or like somebody's birthday, just to have it to have it is a little more difficult.
Or give me like a big heads up so I can shop for something.
Well, I'm sure they all knew.
Big heads up. So this means Sheena and Lala are going to be in the same room together. And Sheena's annoyed because Lala's basically ruined every friendship in this group and she has no other friends, which keeps showing up.
Yeah.
And then they Google Man of Mystery, which made me laugh because Austin Powers was what came up on Google.
Which is very interesting. That's interesting. Awesome.
That's the best. I haven't Googled it yet, but that's hilarious. Okay. So then we're with James and Raquel. They're at the stretch lab getting stretched out.
just LA things.
Just how rich people spend their money. This and the cramp workout.
Which somebody else from like the Bravo Labs, or maybe it still was Vanderpump, did that cramp workout recently.
The period cramp workout. Amazing. So, Raquel just feels like Stretch Lab is a good way to release her stress. Like all the stress she got the other night when James was yelling at her. And James admits he threw a temper tantrum.
Yes.
And he apologizes, but Raquel lets him know that sometimes he's selfish about things like her nose.
Yes. Like, this is my body. You should be supporting me and my body and my stress through this. And then stress about yourself.
When she said, first of all, it's my body. Don't vocalize your personal issues about my body because it's your job to support me.
I was like, there is the Raquel. I'm loving how powerful she is in this moment.
I do too. I think she's just so amazing. Because she even says, she's like, what are you going to do if my nose is fucked up? Leave me?
Yeah.
And James is like, no. And she's like, okay, then why do you care?
I feel like she's really learning how to handle James, because I think a year, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this conversation would have been so different and would have made James blow up. But like, she knows how to handle him so much better and to really like find resolve and help him kind of change a little bit. Like, she's really focusing that he needs to be less reactive and he needs to be more supportive and stop putting his feelings first. And she is the partner who is willing to work with him, be the best person.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. Yay for Raquel.
I love her.
James apologizes. He said he was wrong. Thank God.
But you can also really quick here see his anxiety whenever they talk about what if this was on his side. He's like, you would just leave me. And she's like, that's what you think of me? Like, is that what you would do for me? I kind of feel like you see a little anxiety here with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he knows he's coming across really, really badly.
Yeah. He's so focused on her looks and not the person she is. And that's, he may have gone after her looks first, but the person he fell in love with is her on the inside.
Yeah. So really quick at Stir, just because I love Charlie, someone ordered the goat cheese balls and asked what sauce was on top of it. And Charlie didn't know.
I give her a break because it's like, she clearly does not know food like you and I would. We would have that fucking menu memorized.
Because I would have eaten everything at least four times by now.
Especially those goat cheese balls. It's like a mango sauce or something.
The mango sauce. Okay. So we're at Schwartz and Sandy's, the actual bar.
Mm-hmm.
Katie's here to see it. She has to have this amazing unveil for the first time.
Oh, which this is cute. Like, I would feel the same way. And Schwartz is like, you only get to see it once for the first time.
Oh my God. But she really likes the place. Sandy's super annoyed Katie's here, but we're gonna deal with it. Lucinda is here. She's the designer. And then Greg, the business partner, is here.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, really quick shout out to Katie's shoes. They suck. They were horrible. I hate them.
Oh, I didn't even see them. Dang.
Oh, they were only on for a little bit, but it was like these black grandma loafer shoes with high white socks. And I wanted to die. And I have good taste because remember the feather shirt?
Yes, that's true. And Paige from Winter House said it was ugly too.
Yeah, I gotcha. Me and Paige right here, best friends. So the Toms share their tagline, which is a vibrant, funky dive lounge with a tasteful Americana food, including vegan options featuring simple, fresh, playful, unique mixology. That's too much for me.
I didn't think, is his name Greg? I didn't think Greg would like it, but he loved it.
Greg was in it. So then we're going to talk design. So they drew a picture of what the sign's going to look like. First off, they got so much shit on Twitter. It was like, why didn't they do it on a computer? Is this the 21st?
When they're doing this, I kept getting flashbacks to that season 4 sangria meeting. And I was just proud that they actually came with some stuff this time.
Oh my God.
But like, the bar was low for me because we just watched season 4 in the off season.
Yeah. That sangria meeting was rough. But, so also with the design of this sign, Sandoval had spelled Schwartz's name wrong.
I don't understand how you do that.
And then Katie starts whispering to Greg, like, I was trying to help these men, but they're fucking crazy.
They won't let me get involved.
And then of course, Sandy is over here. Like, Katie's inserting herself, but we got it all together when really all they did was get super high on mushroom tea.
Yeah. They basically wrote on a piece of paper their names, just in a little fancier, just Sandy in a fancier font.
Yeah. And so also they let Greg know that they ordered $1,700 lights. And Greg is so pissed because we've gotten cheaper ones. Yeah, they didn't let their partner know.
Well, how dare you spend $2,400 on two lights? That's a lot of money. Oh, 34. You're right. I can't do math.
That's even worse. So, but Sandoval's all worried about this wow factor. He's not a budgeter. So then they do the mission statement that we had read earlier, and Greg calls it a word salad because a mission statement is a statement for the staff.
Yes.
So Katie starts giving suggestions on what a mission statement really is. And Greg loves it. And he's like, hey, you should replace the Toms and I'll work with you. So then he says, Katie's going to help you guys figure out a mission statement.
Which
so
this is Sandoval's worst nightmare.
Nightmare. Like absolute nightmare.
But Katie's like, I knew what I was saying I could do. She does know her stuff. She clearly knows even business stuff that you want to just pick up from, you know, working at a restaurant. She knows her stuff, like meeting wise.
I know someone should have listened to Katie because she's got this down.
Sometimes I wish Schwartz would just like talk with Katie one-on-one more and like be like, this is what we thought and like run it, filter it through her.
Well, Sandy would be so mad then. And we all know Schwartz doesn't have any balls.
I know.
So now we are at Lala and Randall's house. This is where Lala's getting ready for that themed party, which she fucking hates it. Tom and Ariana's house, they're also getting ready for Katie's party. And Sandoval is talking about some fucking movie. Who the hell cares? So Ariana walks away.
I love that.
Good talking. We're at James and Raquel's apartment. James isn't going to wear a shirt. And then we finally go to Katie and Tom's house for the Man of Mystery party. Katie looks hot.
Katie looks hell yeah. That this hair, is the move. The red lip. I mean, she does classic so well.
Yeah, like, ma'am, this is the move. Get rid of all your feathers. Get rid of those ugly ass loafers.
When she tries to be very trendy, it just isn't working for you. I'm going to say.
Yes, but classic is Katie's shit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Lala walks in. Her boobs are pushed up. She looks fantastic. Sheena walks in. Sheena walk in.
Sheena's boobs are insane too. I just want to say.
Yeah. But we talk about Sheena's porno that she did called Femme Fatales. I don't think it was a porno. I think it's a movie. And I think Sheena had a like naked scene in it where she was in a shower.
Yes. I think it's like kind of porno theme. Like the idea behind the movie seems to be kind of like a porno or like a similar enough at least, but well,
whatever, you know what, they're trying to shame Sheena like she did a porno, but you know what, Sheena's a hustler. She was in a movie. She did what she had to do.
When she gets asked about that in the interview chair, she's like, we're talking about this seriously? People are gonna like, look at my boobs now.
I was on my work computer all day, so I'm not gonna do that.
Good idea.
Gonna get my phone and be like, Sheena and Femme Fatale, because I gotta see how racy it is. I love my bitch. She's a hustler. So and then we find out Lala watched it once to get off. So they're in love. Sheena and Lala are besties. Raquel and James are here. Raquel looks fucking fire. Schwartz and Ariana walk in. They're in a fucking couple's costume. Schwartz and Sandy basically match. They can't just not match one time. And then, yeah, Sheena and Brock also are here. And so Lala asks Schwartz and Sandy's. She asks Katie. Well, she has kind of the group, and Katie's the one that's like, Greg was very impressed with me and my mission statement knowledge.
Yes.
And Sandoval is like, okay, Katie, like
you chimed in on one thing, Katie.
Like he wasn't mean about it, but you could tell he was pissed. And James is like, this is amazing. I love watching it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like Katie does really know how to push all the buttons. This is where like Katie does it too. Like it is not all Sandoval in this and forth. Katie did not need to like be the first one to chime in and be like, I got an A+ on my comment.
Yeah, Greg loves me. So funny though. So funny. So we party a little bit. Everyone's getting down, dancing. Mm-hmm. James does a great Sandy impression. Lala's grossed out by Sheena and Brock. So then Raquel, Sheena, and Ariana are sitting kind of on the couch. And Raquel asks Sheena how her and Lala are. And Sheena's like, it's just such a mind fucked. Like she wants to get along and have fun. But Lala kind of is like, you know, vital.
It seems like they're in a good place. And then it just like Lala comes with some words. And I feel like you're kind of in a washer cycle in this Lala Sheena drama.
Yeah. So just as we're talking about Lala, she comes over and asks Sheena to talk. So they go talk. It was super awkward.
Separate from everyone else. Lala did not want anyone else's ears.
Oh, it was just a lot. So Lala says she knows Sheena and her have issues. She thought they were squashed, though. And Sheena said she also thought that they were squashed and it was genuine. But then at Lisa's, Lala was a mean girl fucking bitch. And so Lala's basically like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're the one trying to play the victim and villainized me. And Lala's concern was Sheena and her baby. So she was confused why it turned into a fight.
That Lala can't take responsibility for constantly bringing this up.
No, she literally can't. So then Sheena just says she's having a tough time trusting Lala because, you know, Sheena has been the butt of everyone's joke for a long time.
Yeah. Well, Sheena goes back and forth between actually being friends with people and then them like kind of coming at her or saying words about her. And then they make up and they're friends for a minute, but it just constantly changes back and forth for Sheena.
Yeah. So she's just having a hard time, but she just needs to know that Lala cares about her and it's not just like an act. Mm-hmm. And Lala says she does. So it's like, what do we do now? And they're both going to move past it and they hug and they kind of cry. And then Lala asks if it'd be okay if she talked to Brock, to which
Sheena
says, yes, I do too. I don't think Lala really did much. But Sheena just forgave.
You know? I think that's what Sheena does in a lot of these like issues is Sheena has to be the one to like let things go because she does want a friendship with certain people on this show. I think it happens often.
Sheena just wants to be loved by everyone. She wants to stop being the butt of the joke.
That and like Sheena, I feel like just wants peace. Like she's willing to accept a half apology to just move on.
Yeah, my little Sheena. You know, I love Justice.
It's sad. She deserves so much more. She really is like such a good friend to a lot of these people.
She tries. So Lala does go outside to talk with Brock. Brock's sitting there with James and Sandoval. And Lala's like, hi, I want to talk to Brock. But if I do, can everyone else not talk?
No chiming in.
They agree. No side comments.
Yes, which we'll get there.
They agree. So then... Lala says that she talked to Sheena and now she wants to make sure she talks to Brock to like really squish everything. Lala makes it clear she did not mean to come for Brock. She just had a concern that was valid, but Brock says that that's not his issue. The issue is that Lala says stuff, but doesn't really care if it hurts people. And then when it does, she won't take responsibility for it.
Yeah,
that's how she is.
She ends up giving kind of a half apology of it ends up being the, I'm sorry that you're hurt kind of apology.
Yeah, sorry that you're hurt, but that's just me. That's just me being Lala. You know?
Yeah, sorry you took offense to my personality, basically.
Yeah, and Heike, I think this is a really valid concern of Brock's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's solid, but Lala is like, well, no, that's not what I do. And then Sandoval gets involved and he starts talking about.
Oh, he starts chiming in super early into after agreeing to not chime in.
Yeah, he tries, but Lala kind of shuts him down and Brock even says something like, which, no, we're not doing that.
I like that Brock was like, no, we said if this is just us talking, like back out of here.
Yeah. So, Brock basically says he doesn't want to be around someone who's like popping off all the time and talking down to him. Mm-hmm. And Lala, again, cannot take responsibility. So she just says she's an acquired taste. So they end the convo there. They're not cool. And Sheena has to go pump. So
they're not, I'm going to say, this is so funny. They're not uncool. I feel like I'm Luann from New York.
Yeah. They're not like uncool.
This didn't make it worse in my opinion, but it's not resolved between them.
No, it's very much like Brock just because it doesn't really like Lala's attitude a lot of the time. And yeah. Lala's not going to change her attitude.
He's not willing to take this side of Lala that everybody has just gotten so used to.
Yeah, we're not going to take the bullshit,
mm-hmm.
Which I appreciate. You know what? I probably, if I'm dating someone in this group, so I show up one day, like after years and she's talking to me like that, I'd be like, I'm not obligated to take your shit.
Agreed. I feel like I would be like, yeah, I'm not hanging out with you.
I would do a Brock where I'm like, we can hang out in the same spot, but how about you just don't talk about me? I won't talk about you. And we can just like live in
we can just be people in the same friend group here.
Yeah. So now we're at Villa Rosa. Schwartz is here. I thought I saw this scene on Twitter. I thought a plumber came over or something because I did not know this was Schwartz.
This is so funny. This is such a guy thing where they're like, Schwartz is trying to like pick something up from Lisa's. He has no clue really what it is. He was just given a few words.
It's the plate, the thing, the circle. You serve it.
It's like a stack, you know.
I don't know what it's called. It's a plate that serves. I have no idea. And she's like a serving platter. And he's like, yeah, that's totally what it like the thing at TGI Fridays. And Lisa's like, no.
I don't own anything that would be out of TGI Fridays.
So they go downstairs, which we've never seen before.
Which, or at least I haven't. Who knew this existed? I know a lot of places in the U.S. don't have basements. I kind of assumed California was one of them.
Yeah, because they're on like mountains and stuff.
And like mudslides. I don't know why, but I kind of think about it like Florida. It's warm, so like you don't have a basement.
I mean, I don't know, but we're in a basement and Schwartz is like, what's here? And Lisa says, this is where she hides all the dead bodies. Kyle, are you in here? Because I died.
Which I did not pick that up until you posted that.
Oh my God. I was crying. Kyle, are you in here? Listen, go watch Beverly Hills so you know about that joke and you know about Dorito. Goodbye.
Yeah, it was the season that I think came during like the pandemic or right before it.
Yeah. So good. So Lisa is looking for this serving platter. I think she grabs it and then she puts on this dog mask and like dances around a little bit. And Schwartz is like weirdly sexually attracted to it. So now
I'm dead. That was so funny.
So weird. The fact that Lisa did that, I was like, oh my God.
Lisa's so fun. I will never get over her.
So then they go upstairs and Schwartz just shares, you know, some struggles he's been having. He kind of feels guilty for working all the time, but he like needs to help his family. So basically his parents separated. So that's obviously you're strapped for cash when you're going through a separation. Mm-hmm. And one of his brothers has been unemployed since the pandemic. So Schwartz has been sending money back, but he's also a little strapped for cash because with the new restaurant he's opening and he didn't get his loan and it's just like a struggle for money. So he's just sharing this with Lisa and Lisa tells him to really focus on the bar because, you know, the family's not your responsibility. And once you get the bar running, you'll have more money to send back.
Yeah.
And Schwartz appreciates that. He's just like pinching pennies right now and he wants to do more.
This is hard.
I get what Lisa's saying, but I would feel it my responsibility if my family needed money too. And I like had money, you know, I'm like,
I agree. Like you do feel selfish for like, Tom already has a restaurant open. So you feel like selfish trying to open a second when like you could use that money to help your family in a very real situation. This isn't like taking his family on a vacation.
No. Yeah. He's trying to just like
help them stay afloat. It seems like.
And listen, I'm not going to judge because I don't know his financials, but pinching pennies seems like kind of a stretch for some man living in LA, with a reality TV show. Again, I don't know how much this restaurant is costing because we did just spend $3,400 on some lights, but I'm just thinking that like, he can make it his responsibility. Like it's fine. He's not doing bad. He's still figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I think honestly where the stress comes is not wanting to send that $300 to your family because you also still don't have that loan. That's your money true. From the reality TV show, like needs to go to the business if you aren't getting the loan.
I'm still shook that he needs a loan. Like again, I don't know how much Schwartz makes, but I feel like he's making a good amount of money.
Yeah. But people spend the money they get, you know,
that's true.
A lot of people, whatever their income is, they spend it all. A lot of people don't have savings.
That's true. Meredith, you send me $10 a month and I immediately spend it at the bar. I only like extra drink for me.
I only have money because I don't have a rent payment right now.
Oh, that's how I feel about my rent.
Same.
But yes. So Lisa kind of helps him through that. We'll see what happens. Schwartz is stressed. Then we go to bar class with Sheena, Brock, and Charlie. This is like the one physical activity Brock is not good at.
I needed this. I needed to see Brock struggle. I did too. Workout wise.
I think I'd be okay at bar.
I would think I'd be better.
I would think I would be better than Brock. Because I used to take ballet, believe it or not.
Nice. Alicia the dancer. Yeah.
Your girl's a dancer. But not like Sheena. Sheena can do the splits. I've never had the splits. My God.
Shit. Yeah.
But Brock, after class, we sit down and talk, of course, because we can't like go anywhere else. We must sit in the class and the teacher must leave. So Brock lets Charlie know that Sheena and Lala made up. And Sheena says this is the most genuine conversation she's had with Lala. So she's going to take it. And Brock says he put Lala in her place last night, which I don't know if he did that, but he let her know why he doesn't like her, which I think is like more than most people do. But
I wonder if a lot more was said that like it just wasn't worth showing at all.
Maybe. I don't know. But put her in her place sounds a little aggressive.
Yeah. Brock's like,
what happened?
Like thinking too highly of himself. If that conversation we saw was just the gist of it.
Yeah. So Brock is very wary of Lala, but he doesn't want to mess up the friendship between Sheena and Lala. So he thinks he's going to maybe try and be on better terms with things over. Lala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think this shows how much he does love Sheena. Like he's thinking about her and her relationships. This relationship is clearly something that's important to Sheena, and he doesn't want to be the reason that it's not working.
I know, it's sweet. Mm-hmm. But Sheena does say that it doesn't matter if her and Lala are friends. She still has Charlie's back if something happens, because Charlie and Lala aren't good. But yeah, Charlie's kind of with Brock. Like, why is she going to be friends with someone who talks shit about her? Right. Like, she's just like, I don't need Lala as a friend.
Which this is very Sheena. Like, Sheena needs people to like her.
Yeah. But Charlie doesn't. Sorry. I was talking about Charlie.
Oh yeah. I know. But like, Charlie's like, why would you do that? Like, if you're going to talk shit about someone one day to the next, like that's just who Sheena needs. And Charlie is the complete opposite. Charlie's like, I don't need all the friends. I just need the good friends. And Sheena's like, I need all the friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird, but whatever. Also, quick thing, Meredith, I know we don't have TikToks, but have you ever seen those things about TikTok leggings?
Yes. Yes. They're not just on TikTok. I've seen them on Instagram. Sheena was wearing them.
Sheena was wearing them because they're supposed to make your butt look really good.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of the ugliest leggings. I don't care how good they make my butt look. I'm not.
I think they're like fine, but I just don't think they make your butt look like any more amazing than like some other leggings.
Oh my God. They're like texture leggings. Yeah, I don't like them, but yay for Sheena. So now we go to the Belmont. First of all, Ariana looks crazy hot. I'm over it. I'm over this bitch. She is so fucking attractive. I can't. That's how I feel about it. Her shirt was so good. I'm obsessed with her look. Okay. So the Toms and the wives are out. They're going to chill because they've been working their asses off with this bar. And Katie is like, you couldn't even do a mission statement. My God.
Yeah. This isn't hard work.
Everyone else shows up. It's like Brock and Sheena, Raquel James. There's some random blonde guy that's there. That's shown like multiple.
We're getting
times.
A lot of people. Even Jesse from Sur is here. I love it.
Yeah, but at least we know Jesse. This blonde dude. Someone better explain this blonde man to me. Who is he?
I don't know.
But Katie, then her and Schwartz are sitting and she asks what's wrong. And Schwartz says, you know, first off, he has a dog head fetish. So that's one thing that's wrong. And then second off, he told Lisa about helping his family and how he like thinks it's selfish. And he immediately says he knows he hasn't been communicating this with Katie, but he's not great at communicating, which I thought hilarious because I'm sure someone was like, Katie, go ask Tom what's wrong. And so Tom was like, I must share now on camera.
Yeah, go ask Tom what happened with Lisa.
Yeah, but Schwartz is just, he's sad about the money. And Katie's like, you just won $900 against Jesse Metcalf at poker.
We're rich. See, I'm telling you, they just spend the money they have. Like, that's like, we got all the money. Why are we stressed?
apparently Schwartz gambles, like not just that, but also his child's name.
Well, that makes sense because Schwartz said that on poker night.
Does he just gamble a lot?
He's a big gambler. Yeah. Oh my
God. Scary. I never have gambled because I know I'll get addicted to it because I want to win.
Oh, I have I gambled just slightly. And with only other people's money is how I decide to gamble because
yes, it that's how I gamble. Me.
But it's so hard. Exciting. I love it. Like even like slot machines specifically, the sound just gets me. I want to keep going.
You're right. I have done it with other people's money. Not my money. Cause I can't stop, but other people give me like $20 and I gotta stop.
Yeah. Me, you know? Yeah. Same.
But okay. So Schwartz just puts pressure on himself to be a positive person. And Katie lets him know that he's doing just great. He's a great husband and brother and son. And they're like going to deal with the issues. It was a cute combo, honestly.
It was
about it. So Charlie's here. Raquel is drinking again. And we're having a girls conversation. And Charlie says, just so you know, we all have wiki feet profiles. Ariana's got the highest value with a 5. Sheena is offended because she has a 4. Raquel doesn't seem to know she has a wiki feet profile, but Charlie takes hers very seriously. Your toes have to look fantastic. If no one else knew, feet to me are the most disgusting body part. I hate it. I hate it. I hate feet.
I don't want other people's, I like, don't mind my feet. They don't bother me.
My feet
me.
Are fine.
I don't need other people, but with a lot of body parts, I just don't need you all up in my space. Like, give me,
yeah,
like but I have a bubble.
If a guy comes out, I'm going to be like, take off your shirt, but please leave your shoes on. That's not going to make me want to hook up with you. Like, please
no, but like shoes on. Seeing people, like a picture of people's feet doesn't like bother me. Like all this, like Charlie, like talking about how like the feet, there's a lot of aspects to feet to get a good score. This doesn't like this package of video does not bother me.
No. Yeah. It's, if your feet are like alive and in person, I hate
physical
them.
Foot in front of me. Yeah, and worst. Like dirty feet. Like Charlie has cute feet.
She does. You know, I see why Charlie's got good feet. I'd love to see Ariana's feet because she's got the highest rating. So
I know. And you know what? We're gonna sell some pictures to make some money for Raquel's second nose job. Cause it
her
is
her nose job. Ariana's in. She's in. Raquel does not like it, but we're gonna call it toes for the nose.
I love it.
I loved it. Katie's so kind of down.
Yeah, why not?
And then Raquel's thinking about it because Charlie's like, we won't have to serve anymore. And Raquel's like, oh yeah, okay. Let's do it.
I think this sounds like a great use of your celebrity.
I agree. If you got good feet, do it. So then Lala's here and Brock goes up and talks to her. He apologizes and Lala appreciates it. And, you know, they move on pretty fast. They hug. Lala knows where Brock was coming from. They're going to move forward. And Lala doesn't want Brock to have to defend himself anymore because Lala knows what that's like and she hated it. So she's going to trust Sheena's judgment on this one. And so Brock says, thank you so much. Want to come to my birthday party?
Yeah. Hey, friend. We're friends, right? Want to come to my party?
And she's like, yeah. And then she turns to Sheena and she's like, I'm going to his birthday party.
All I want to say is this better be dead. Like, I'm tired of this. So like, if they're saying it's dead, Lala,
it better be dead.
I need this to be dead.
Next person to bring it up, we actually make dead. We will come out and kill. We're over it.
We can do like How I Met Your Mother slap bets. We're like, you get a slap.
Oh my God. Yes. Every time we fucking bring it up, we smack you in the face. Love it. Okay. So then Charlie wants to get another drink. Jesse, the random server, is supporting her on this quest. But then Sandy, of course, has to jump in. So we don't get Jesse anymore.
Yeah.
But we started talking about the bar and then Charlie, the Schwartz and Sandy's bar. And then Charlie starts talking about bar class and the Lala drama that she found out. And Sandoval just lets her know that Lala likes to pick fights. And then, you know, wonder why she's not invited to things.
Yeah, like be upset, like play the victim. She's the one who kind of starts all this stuff, but then is like, what's happening?
Yeah. And then Charlie obviously agrees. And then it's almost like the producers told Lala
This is the second time this episode people are talking about Lala, and she just walks up.
She's just right there. And she's like, hey, you guys, what's happening? I just want to make sure we're all good. Mm-hmm. And Charlie's like, yeah, sorry I didn't invite you to my food thing.
Well, she didn't say sorry. I added that. I do want to clarify that.
I was saying it sarcastically. Yeah. Sorry. But like she said, oh, I did not invite you to my food thing. Nothing personal. I just didn't know what Lala I was going to get.
Yeah. And like, I knew you and Sheena weren't good. This is something very personal. And Lala's like, I get it.
Yeah. And then Sandoval is like, because Lala, you start fights. And Lala's like, we're not going to do this. Like, and Sandoval's like, oh, we're going to do this. Also, he has an earring that I had like seen. And I was like, wait. So I missed some of the conversation because I was focused on Sandoval having an earring. But they basically, they're not yelling or fighting. They're just like really sassily talking to each other.
Sandoval kept trying to push that like, no, this isn't a fight. And this isn't about me trying to start shit with you. I'm trying to make you better by pointing out something I want you to improve on. This is something I'm seeing. So I'm pointing out a pattern with you, and then is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. But then Lala's like, well, I'm trying to tell you that you also need to grow up.
It's so petty.
Everyone, because then Lala's like, it's called retaliation. And Sandoval's like, yes, we are retaliating when you yell at us. And Lala's like, the only thing we need to retaliate against is that stupid mustache. Sandoval starts doing some math, like 2 + 2 = 4 and 2 + 2 = 4. And Lala's like, I don't know math. I'm leaving.
Like, we lost. You both are now losing in this argument. Like Sandoval, you were doing really good about flipping a lot of Lala's words, and now we're doing math for no reason. We lost the point. We're no longer on this.
We are doing math.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends, was with math.
There's just a lot of like wrapping up bows in my mind in this episode.
So next time on Vanderpump Rules, there is a pool party with everyone. Some dude grabs Charlie and Sheena laughs at that. James feels powerless over weed. Everyone's bitching about Sandoval still. And so Lala lets Schwartz know that he's Sandy's bitch.
Oof, there is a lot of new drama about to start.
Oof. Yeah, there was a lot that happened. So we need to do accepted and blocked. And I already have mine, actually. I was good.
I'm glad you do, because my brain is on vacation and I don't know. So I need you to go first.
Okay, I will do blocked first.
Okay.
I'm going to block Sandoval. I still love him. I will not ever stop loving him, but listen up, sir. Google what a mission statement is first off. That like super annoyed the hell out of me. Second off, the conversation with Lala was the first one with Brock, Lala, and him, mm-hmm. he was not supposed to speak up, and this man spoke up. So he just can't keep his mouth shut. And then he's talking to Lala now. And honestly, do I think Lala was fully right? No, but I don't think Sandoval makes sense when he's trying to explain his point. I think he's coming from a good place, like a place to genuinely like let you know what everyone's issue is. But the way he says it, like when he started doing math, I was like, sir, I have no idea what we're talking about.
Sometimes and I think with Sandoval, it's not what he's saying, it is how he says it sometimes. Sometimes comes off superior, or like from my perspective, that's what it kind of comes off as. And it's hard to receive a critical message when it comes off that way.
Yeah, I completely agree. So,
I'm just going to join you on that train, because there really were no villains.
Yeah. And he wasn't even like that big.
No, he was just caused the most like unnecessary waves in my mind.
Yeah. Like no
Sandoval fucking need. Loves to step in on everything.
He does. He's the number one guy in the group. So
he actually kind of is now. He's kind of the center.
He is the number one guy in the group. Okay, but yeah, that's who we're blocking. Hooray.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
I was going to accept someone and I last minute changed it. Ooh. And so now I'm accepting Brock. I think he handled himself swimmingly, right? He told Lala what his issue was with her. And if she didn't want to accept that was him, but I think he explained it nicely. I think he made his point And he's allowed to set up boundaries too. And his boundary is, I don't want you to yell at me for fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And then he then wanted to wrap things up with Lala for the sake of Sheena.
Yeah. Like smooth Sheena it over so much. Make sure that they can be cordial in a group.
Yeah. Literally so nice. And then he does. And he ends up inviting Lala to his birth his birthday.
Because
I just think Brock had a good episode.
I think Brock is very like sympathetic towards stuff. Like if you think like he might've like felt bad that Lala is like, was excluded from Charlie's party last time, even though it is Charlie's party and he understands that she gets to invite whoever. Brock doesn't seem like the type to really want to exclude people if he doesn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Which I enjoy. You know what? I'm team Brock. I feel him this episode. It was great.
Me too. I am accepting Raquel. I think she handled the conversation with James so perfect. She stood up for herself, but is not just kind of, you know, putting up a stop sign. I feel like she's helping redirect him on a path to get better, which is not her job, but I love that she cares about him so much and wants him better and knows and like sees that he can like have that future where he isn't as reactive or like potentially like wants to kind of mitigate these issues before they have kids, for her future kids, even, you know, like she cares so much about James and the potential kids they could have that like she wants to see it all perfect in her eyes. And she looked fucking fire this episode.
She did. It was amazing. I loved, but yay. So I think that's it. Did we do it fast enough for your vacation, Meredith?
We did. For everyone who is not on our pre-shows, I needed to kind of crank this one out to get back on vacation mode. But I am sad to watch What Happens Live as all the Real Housewives, like ultimate Real Housewives vacation girls. So guests on there last night. So we'll probably return next week with some Watch What Happens Live notes too.
Cool.
Oh, and actually a lot of people, Alicia, have been asking about your tweets and our Twitter. I just want to say Alicia loves Twitter. I'm going to speak for you. And she just goes on her personal Twitter and like finds all these fun tweets. We don't actually have a Twitter.
Yeah.
And just screenshots them so she can share.
Yeah. And we don't have a Twitter and I actually don't tweet. So like, I wouldn't follow me. I honestly use Twitter. I used to, don't get me, I used to like tweet and then I used to retweet a bunch of shit. And now, honestly, I just look up the hashtag for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and then Pump Rules and Winter House. And that's about it.
Yeah. So like great
place. Or other shows that are out that I like think would have funny memes.
Yeah. Great place. Cause I'm not on Twitter. Sometimes I'll look it up if Alicia like tells me there's really funny things, but great place if you don't have Twitter to see some fun tweets, the highlight reel of the tweets that Alicia finds.
Yeah. And I totally give all credit to people who actually tweeted those things by leaving their names in. So if you really want to go see who's tweeting it, all the names are in the tweet that I post.
Definitely.
Full credit. Oh my God. Thank you guys though for thinking I'm funny enough to have a Twitter. They're not my tweets. I'm not that funny.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious, but I'm not that funny.
She's great at pulling them, like aggregating all the best ones.
Oh, I love. This episode didn't have a lot, but oh well. It happens.
Thanks guys. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. See you next week.